I'd like you to turn in the Word of God to the Gospel according to John this morning, John's Gospel and the chapter 19. John chapter 19, I draw your attention to the verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. I want to highlight the words, there stood by the cross of Jesus. There stood by the cross of Jesus. And especially, I would like you to highlight the opening words, there stood. There stood. We want to think today about standing. Standing for Christ. Now, at this dark scene of the crucifixion, at Calvary, there are some who are standing with Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus is the poor man. He has possessed nothing material of any great value throughout life. He had the clothes on his back, but he had not where to lay his head. Even, you remember, on occasion he had to borrow a coin to give an object lesson, so he wasn't rich by any means. He was poor. He was a pauper. Though he was rich in eternity, rich in the past before the incarnation, yet we know that for you and for your salvation, he became poor. He was very rich and he became very, very poor for us. And now on the cross, even his clothes that he possessed are gone. We read in the verses before this, they took his clothes and they divided them among the soldiers. So he doesn't even possess the clothes on his back anymore. He does possess three cruel, mocking possessions. He possesses a cross. The cross of Jesus. He has a cross. He's joined to the cross. The cross is now enclosing him. So he possesses a cruel cross. He also possesses a cruel mocking crown. They plotted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. We don't read that it was removed again. So he possesses a crown of thorns on the cross. And he also possesses a caption, because there was set over his head his accusation written. His. There's something else he possesses. There's this inscription that says this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. So those are his dying possessions. He is in union with his cross. He is in union with his cruel crown. And he is in union with his caption above his head. But we see something else this morning that he is in union with at the cross. We see his church. We see these living souls that are standing by him and with him, those for whom he has died. We see believers. We see followers of him. We see lovers of Christ. And they, this particular day, have this hallmark. They stood by his cross. They're standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that four women are identified in our text in verse 25. John, the beloved disciple, is also present, because we read in verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple, and notice it again, standing by. So there are four women and John, and the apostle is very definitely saying they're standing by the cross of Jesus. John divides the four women into two pairs. The two are unnamed, the mother of Jesus and her sister, an aunt of our Lord. Now, John never calls the mother of Jesus by name. He never calls her Mary. He always refers to her as the mother of Jesus or the mother of the Lord. She's present, Mary, the mother of Christ. And then Mary's sister, who is thought to be the same as Salome. But we'll not go into that this morning. We haven't time. And then the name pair are both called Mary. Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and the other Mary, Mary Magdalene. And the church that day present and represented is small. It's just a little congregation, isn't it? 5 precious souls. Just a little church. But Jesus does not despise it. He sees it. He loves it. And he is encouraged by it. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So we don't have to be a large body. This isn't a large body. Christ is in the midst of just a little handful that day. Not even the smallest little church should despair of the presence of Christ, but should be comforted that if they're standing by Christ, they will have him in the midst. They will have his presence. So small in number, but how they must have succored the Lord in his time of agony, and how much it must have meant to him to see them and beholding them standing by him. Now, the important thing is not the size, is it? It's not the number, but the important thing is what they're doing. They're standing by, their faithfulness. Better to be a small church, a little body, faithful to Jesus and standing with him, than to be an even larger body and far from him and not really standing by the Lord. So size isn't important. What is important is the posture, is the faithfulness, is the standing by the cross of Jesus. Just a small number. And it's also, you will notice, mostly women. 4 women, 1 man. That is sometimes a characteristic of many congregations in the world. I remember whenever I was in Kenya on occasions, and I was often struck that sometimes it was the women who outnumbered the men, and in some churches it was all women and no men. You sometimes have to ask yourself, where are the men? And that would have been the question that we would have asked today at this scene in the cross. Where are the men? There's just John, and the rest are women. And thank God for the women. Very often the women outnumber the men in godliness and in faithfulness. And all the men have gone, but these women are still standing. And that was a great encouragement to the Lord Jesus Christ. My subject is not the numbers, and neither the sex of the numbers, but my emphasis to you this morning is the posture that they adopt. They stood. They very definitely stood by the cross of Jesus. So John is giving them this wonderful description. And what a beautiful picture it is of faithfulness standing by the cross. And for the year ahead, I want to exhort you to experience this. I want to exhort you to engage in this, to live this out yourselves, to be identified by this, both as individual private Christians and as a flock of God, as a church, as a congregation, that this will characterize us, that we will stand by Jesus and stand by Christ crucified. So John is bringing out the faithfulness of these women and of the Apostle John whenever he is giving this description. It's not just a bit of history, it is history and it's true, but he is describing this history to prod us on. He's thinking of the reader, and that's why he brings in this verb, to stand. He could have omitted it. He could have just said there was by the cross, other was present. But no, he has to write this verb to stand. They stood by the cross. They're not passing by. They're not passing through. They're not present merely, but they are standing. And they couldn't be there unless they were standing and had this resolve to stand by Christ crucified. So whenever John is writing that, I want you to know he has us in mind. He has us hearers of his writing in mind, and he wants us to get this picture, and he wants to prod us to be with them, to be ones who stand by Christ crucified. That's why he writes it, and that's why he brings in this verb, to stand. It's very important. He's urging us to do the same. And it's not just a physical thing. Of course, they're standing there physically, but it's not just a physical thing. It's a mind and an attitude that they have, a conviction, an assurance, a commitment, a confidence, an allegiance to Jesus Christ. That's what's in this word. A firmness, a faithfulness, fortitude, loyalty, grit. Stand for Christ. That's what John wants to convey to us. And so the message from God to your soul today, brethren and sisters, is to stand by the Lord Jesus, to stand by Christ crucified that we preach and proclaim. Are you going to stand for Christ? Are you going to stay near to his cross? And so at the end of 2022, the year ahead of us, if we're spurred, will these words identify us? Will these words be our testimony for 2022? They're stood by the cross. Will we stand by the cross? So as Christians, we have to stand for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, the old hymn says. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. So this is the position that they adopt. Now, it is the position of faithful witnesses. That's what they are. They're standing as the faithful witnesses to Christ. It's not easy here to stand. Others are looking on, and they are seeing the friends and the followers of Jesus. And they can all say, there's his friends, there's his followers. Look how few they are, and they're mostly women. They were despised, but they're standing. And they're witnesses, and nothing can take them from his side. And we have to stand as witnesses for our Lord. I was reading about the story of a young man at university, in one of the universities in the United States. It was several decades ago, I suppose, in one of the southern states. And there was a philosophy course that was a three-month semester, a period of time. And many students passed through that every year, and about several hundred students. And the philosopher, the lecturer who taught that philosophy class, he was an avowed atheist, a deeply committed unbeliever and atheist, and very zealous against God and against the gospel. And he gave a large part of that session to prove that God didn't exist. And for 20 years he had been teaching this class, and at every semester, on the last day, he would particularly head out at God and at the faith of Christians. And he would say, if there's anyone here who believes in God or in Jesus, stand up. And nobody would stand up for nearly 20 years. Some Christians did pass through the class, but they never stood up, never witnessed. And he would say, if there was a God, and those were the days when they had chalk, if there was a God, he could stop this chalk from breaking when it falls. And he would drop the chalk onto the hard ground, and would always shatter into a multitude of pieces, and it never was any different. But one year there was a Christian who passed through this philosophy class who knew about this, and he knew he had to stand for Jesus. And for the 3 months he prayed earnestly about this matter. He knew that it was going to come. He could have missed the class. He didn't have to stand. He could have done what many other Christians had done. But it was difficult for him. And he prayed earnestly. And the moment came at the end of the period. And the question was asked, is anyone here still believes in God after this course? And this believer at the back of the lecture hall stood up and said he didn't. You're a fool. If there was a God, he could stop this chalk breaking into pieces. And he's about to drop it onto the ground. It slipped out of his fingers, onto the cuffs of his shirt, and dropped down onto the trousers, and rolled down the trousers, hit his foot, and dropped onto the ground. And as a solid piece of chalk, it just rolled along the floor. And he looked up at the young man, and he was absolutely confounded. And he had to leave the lecture room. And apparently that young fellow was able to give a word of testimony to the 300 remaining students there at that particular time. So it was quite an interesting story. He stood for Jesus. Even if the chalk had a broke like that 20 years previous, he stood for Jesus. He was standing by the cross. And that's what we have to do. As a congregation, stand for the Lord. Stand for him at the meeting. Stand for him at the attendance. Stand for him at the reading and the hearing of the word and adherence to the faith. Now, standing in the Bible is not only a thing of witness. It's also often the posture of prayer, standing. We often read in the Bible that people stood to pray. Hannah, whenever she prayed standing. She said to Eli, I stood by thee here praying. Do you remember how the Pharisee, he stood and prayed? And do you remember how the Lord Jesus says, when ye stand praying, forgive if you hold aught against any. And so this is a posture of prayer in the scripture. We have to stand in prayer. And I'm not just talking physically, but to continue in prayer, to continue standing in prayer, to be in the place of prayer, to pray always, to pray without ceasing, to not give up, but to continue standing in the prayer meetings, not to let the knees become feeble, not to faint, but to keep at it. To lift up your hands, which might hang down. Don't let them hang down, but keep them lifted up. And the feeble knees, which would prevent you standing, strengthen the feeble knees, that you may continue to stand in prayer. So standing in prayer. Standing, saints, are a delight to Christ crucified, and must have been this day for the Lord Jesus. Now, standing, if we want to think about it in another way, maybe in a negative way, we could think of the opposites of standing. Standing is the opposite of scattering and fleeing. It's the opposite of forsaking, isn't it? They're standing. But what happened to the rest? Most forsook him. That's what the Bible says, most forsook him. Only this little handful are standing by his cross. They scattered. They scattered whenever they come to Gethsemane to arrest him. They scattered when the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. When the caption was put on the tree and when his hands and feet were nailed to the tree, they weren't there because they had gone. They had fled. They had scattered. The shepherd was smitten and most of the sheep were scattered. Now, if you read Mark's Gospel, Mark's Gospel is very interesting. Whenever you keep in mind that he is the servant who failed, he's the servant who forsook Barnabas and Paul and went back. He's the servant who was scattered. And whenever he writes his Gospel, He at the start says concerning some of the apostles that they forsook their nets and their father and followed Jesus. They forsook their nets at the start. But at the end, he has to write something different. He writes that they all forsook him and fled. They forsook him. And most of them did. Only this little group, mostly women, are standing. So forsaking is the opposite of standing. We read that on an occasion from that time, many of his disciples went back. They forsook him. They walked no more with him. And the Lord Jesus asked a question. And he asked the same question to you today. Will you also go away? Many went back, many forsook him. And he had to say to those who were standing with him, will you also go away? Well, these ones at the cross, they won't go away. They won't leave him. They won't forsake him. They won't forsake the little body. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with the few by my cross? So don't forsake Christ. And don't forsake the faith. And don't forsake the little congregation. The little body of standing saints. Don't forsake the assembly. As the apostle says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So forsaking is the opposite of standing, isn't it? And we're not to forsake the Lord. I give you my doctrine, the Bible says, the Lord says, forsake ye not my law. Don't forsake the teaching. Don't forsake the doctrine. That's a picture of the opposite, forsaking. But standing is also the opposite of fainting. And fainting is a wee bit different from forsaking. You can forsake something, and that's pretty clear what that means. But other Christians, they don't forsake so much. They just faint. They get discouraged, and they fail to stand. So it's not all about, you know, going away. So sometimes it's just about growing weary and well-doing and falling by the way. Remember how the Lord Jesus had to continually exhort his apostles about this matter. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to collapse by the way, not to fall. Saying we have received this ministry, Paul had to write, and we have received mercy. We faint not. Paul could say we're not fainters. It's of the Lord's mercy. We've got this ministry, and there's one thing you can't do in the ministry. You can't faint. You can't be discouraged and just give up and collapse. No, we need the mercy of the Lord so that we don't faint. And these women and this man at the cross, that's what they have. They have the mercy of the Lord. They're not fainting. There's a lot could make them faint as they look around, but they're keeping their eyes on Jesus. They're keeping their eyes on his sufferings and on his cross work, and they don't faint. So keep looking to Christ. Keep looking to Christ crucified, and you won't faint. For this cause we faint not, Paul said on another occasion. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's what we need, congregation. Every day, not just enough week by week, but every day by day, we need to be renewed. We need to be refreshed by God and by his word. Then we'll not faint. So let us not be weary and well-doing, people of God. Let us not be discouraged. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not, if we keep on standing for the Lord. So fainting is the opposite of standing. Not forsaking, not fainting, but standing. That's God's will for 2022. Standing is also the opposite of being moved away. That's another picture. Some forsake, some faint, but others let themselves be moved away. Let themselves be shoved away. Let themselves be pushed away. I'm sure there were the soldiers who were doing this shoving. And the crowd who was doing the pushing, there they are, they're still standing. They won't forsake him. They're not fainting. And they're not being shoved away. They're still there. They're not being moved. Here's a congregation, and it's not for being moved. We shall not be moved, they all say. And the Apostle Paul says, if you continue in the faith and be settled and grounded, that's the way he wants us to be, settled and grounded, standing. And don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't let anything move you, people of God. Don't let any discouragements move you. Don't let the world move you. Don't let the devil move you. Don't let people move you. Stand by the Lord. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. The psalmist says, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm going to continue standing. I have set the Lord always before me, he says. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And these people at the cross are saying that. We're setting the Lord before us. We're setting Christ crucified before us. And we're not going to be removed. Doesn't the text behind us? You see it every week. We preach Christ crucified. Every week you're at the cross. And every week you have to say to yourself, we will not be moved from that. We are standing by Christ crucified. So this is John's way of prodding us, the saints who are going to read his gospel. This is his way of prodding them to continue standing and having done all to be still standing. Standing in the faith. Remember the apostle Paul said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand in the faith. Don't be moved away from the great doctrines. And stand in trust in the Lord. Stand also in love. They're standing here in love, aren't they? In love to the Lord and in love to one another. My brethren and sisters, continue to stand in the love of God. In the love of the Lord. Love the Lord. And love the brethren. And love your neighbor. Continue standing in that. Remember Paul says, stand in the liberty. We have liberty of sons. We've been bought by blood. The means of our washing and cleansing have been obtained by Jesus Christ. We don't have to feel in bondage. We don't have to feel enslaved. We don't have to feel that we're lost and on our way to hell. We stand in the liberty of the salvation of Jesus Christ and the gift of grace and the gift of the forgiveness of sins. So don't be moved away from that. Stand fast in the liberty whereby Christ hath made us free. And don't be entangled again with any yoke of bondage. So stand fast in liberty and stand together too in unity and harmony. It's a little harmonious little body here, isn't it? Oh, how they're united at the cross. They're standing together. They're standing as one. Paul says, therefore, my dearly beloved brethren and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And he's writing to a church that there was some disunity and there were some sisters and they seemed to be bickering and have differences. And he wanted that mind of Christ to be in them, that humble mind. He says, stand fast to them with one spirit, with one mind, he says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then stand in the word. Remember how to the Thessalonians Paul said, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He's not talking about silly traditions, unbiblical traditions. He's talking about the apostolic traditions, our word, our epistles, our writings, the scripture. Stand fast in those apostolic traditions that you have been taught, And brethren and sisters, that's what you have to do. We have to stand fast in the word. We mustn't bring in things that are contrary to scripture. Our duty is to stand in the word of God. So that's the key note for the year ahead. Keep on standing by Christ crucified. However small the numbers, just 5 here, but they're standing. So don't let the numbers, smallness of numbers, be a discouragement. However small the numbers, let us keep on standing. However discouraging the makeup of the congregation is, you say, they're all women. There's nothing here, they're all women. And there are some churches, maybe people can be discouraged in the makeup of the congregation. Maybe they say, they're all women here. Or maybe you say, they're all elderly here, they're all old people here, there's no young people here, there's no children here. And it's easy to get discouraged in those kind of congregations. But whatever the makeup of the congregation, don't be discouraged. Maybe it's a congregation without a pastor. Their shepherd is going away. Their shepherd is being crucified. And they look likely to be without a shepherd. But they're still standing. Standing, though losing a shepherd. Standing and continue standing in those congregations that have no pastor, or the pastor's just left or whatever. That's a difficult time. But they have to keep on standing and be faithful. And then they have to stand however great the reproach. And the reproach here must be, it's unimaginable what they are facing, the difficulty, and yet they still stand. And brethren and sisters, whatever the reproach, whatever the cost, and whatever the snarls and the mockings of men concerning us, don't let it cause you to be removed away. However great the reproach, keep on standing. However much the opposition, they're stood by the cross. So let that be our keynote in the year ahead. So that when we come to the end of it, we can look back and say that was us. We stood by Christ crucified. May it be so. May the Lord give us the grace. So let us seek him now and pray. Let us just call upon his name and close the meeting. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness the past year, people of God, and for your love for the Lord. And so continue to be encouraged and look to the Lord. And may the Lord bless us with his presence. What more do we want but his presence in the year ahead? So let's covet that. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee again for thy mercies of the past year. We thank thee for the word this morning. May it have been a true word from thee for our souls. May it encourage the flock here, and may it be a guidance to us in the year ahead. So help us to stand. Give us the grace of endurance. Help us to be faithful. Help us to stand by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us near the cross in 2022. Keep us together. Keep us united. Keep us harmonious. Keep us having thy blessing from thy wonderful presence. And now may the Lord be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.